The Supreme Court gave President Trump an early win, but the fight is not over yet.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. That's right, we got a packed show today. Will Haynes joining me in studio. We're going to have a couple of our attorneys, CeCe Heil, Garrett Taylor. It's going to be packed, and you're going to want to stay tuned because there's a lot going on right now in the world of the ACLJ, but also, you may have heard the news, and the news may be giving you a little bit, a little bit misleading. I don't know if you think that's normal for the news to do that, but both the conservative news and the liberal news, you'd say, the Fox News and the MSNBCs, are both touting this in different ways. MSNBC is touting it as panic, as they believe President Trump had a big win. Fox News also saying this is a big win. But when you actually break it down, and look, we've always told you here on this show, we don't, you know, give you all the information you just want to hear. We give you all the information. And all the information shows that it's not as clear cut. It's not as big of a win, maybe, as the mainstream news wants to present it. Sure, temporarily, this is a win. This is a win. But there are a lot of details that have come out when you really break it down, when you really look at their opinions, dissents, and all the things that came out, that, well, it's not just a clear-cut President Trump victory.
That's right. So a per curiam order came out from the opinion, from the United States Supreme Court last night, and this was on the application to vacate the orders issued by the United States District Court for the District of Columbia. This has been the judge that has been a thorn in the side of the administration when it comes to the deportation flights. This is the one that got in early and tried to get them to turn the plane around. And what has gone on here is that that temporary restraining order that the judge put in place was now vacated by the Supreme Court. So that temporary restraining order was putting a hold on deportation flights and that entire deportation program under the Alien Enemies Act. That temporary restraining order has now been vacated, meaning that the Supreme Court is saying that the Trump administration can restart that program, but there's a lot of caveats that come with that. And their rationale wasn't necessarily that the judge erred in putting the TRO in on place. They didn't rule on the constitutionality of how the Alien Enemies Act is being applied. What they found was that the plaintiffs that took this to the district court used the wrong venue. That what should have taken place was a habeas petition within the area of confinement for the migrants that were seeking to block deportation, not in Washington, D.C., as they chose to do.
Yeah, and we're going to break down the details of that coming up in the next segment. So I want you to make sure you stay listening. This is one of our shorter segments, because in the next one, we'll break down, let's say, the wins. And it says on here, the less than wins. So maybe not losses, but a not yet victories for President Trump and the Trump administration and their plans. Now, look, you may disagree with those plans. There's some of this. I go, yeah, you know, do we want due process in this country? I think probably. I think there's probably good ways to do that. But again, it's always painted from a point of view. It's always painted from some sort of narrative. What do you think? I'd love to hear from you. Give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. As we continue taking on major cases, by the way, the ACLJ keeps going and the Life and Liberty Drive continues as well. So I'm going to ask you to go to ACLJ.org. Every gift you give today will be doubled. You're going to be joined by our legal team coming up in just a few minutes. Because again, there are these big sweeping Supreme Court cases. And then the ACLJ gets involved on the granular local level. And sometimes, you know, an HOA oversteps their bounds. And we want to be there for you when that happens. We know the HOAs, they always, I mean, I was a vice president of an HOA at one point. I was just a yes man, really. I mean, if I'm just being honest to the president. But you know what? It was an honor and a privilege. But you got to have due process there as well. Phone lines are open for you. 1-800-684-3110. Support the work if you can. Have your donations doubled. We're going to go through a big list of what the ACLJ is doing. And we're going to break down this news when we get back. back to Seculo. Harry Hutchins is joining us in studio right now to break down the legal portion of this. You can understand what's going on. Because like I told you before, and I want to reset a little bit for those just joining us here in the second segment, you probably have seen the news. You thought, okay, President Trump had a big win. Again, you may agree with it, you may disagree with it, but that's the mainstream media's point of view. The liberal media said the Supreme Court handed Trump this victory. The conservative media said the Supreme Court gave Trump a victory. It's the same words coming out of their mouths, just with different tone. But when we actually break it down, and we actually have legal experts on our team, and of course, our incredible legal staff, you're actually able to look a little more in detail and see that it may not be quite as big of a win as they said. And I have a list in front of me that says the wins in the cases and the less than wins for the administration. I'm going to read those to you real quick so you have a brief overview of what happened. Again, not saying I agree or disagree with any of these point of views. This is just what's happened. And then Harry and Will can break this down a little bit further. Wins in the cases. Here's what we got. The DC TRO, which stands for, Will?
Temporary Restraining Order.
There it is. That blocked deportations has been vacated. The Supreme Court said that bringing the case in DC was the wrong venue for this, which could limit form shopping on this issue. They also reiterated that we will construct these TROs, which means
temporary restraining order,
as appealable injunctions, limiting the ability of lower court judges to put unappealable holds on administrative action. And it reestablishes the president's authority to enforce the Alien Enemies Act, at least for now. So those are the, you'd say, the wins for the Trump administration. Now let's go to the less than wins for the Trump administration. All nine justices said that this has limited judicial review, contrary to the administration's claim of zero judicial review, which could slow the process of these deportations. Each deportee must be afforded reasonable time in such manner as we will allow them to actually seek habeas relief in proper venues. So again, saying, hey, maybe they need some due process here. We need some time to actually know this is happening. It can't just be rounded up and put on a plate. They said the constitutionality of the law could be addressed, which could come down the way. They did not rule specifically on this. So this gives you a better understanding. I understand it more from just reading it out loud myself of what this case meant, but let's get a little bit more in depth. Harry Hutchinson's joining us. Will, why don't you?
That's right. And Professor Hutchinson, as we were looking at this, obviously it's much easier for headlines to be written of big win or oh no, big win, depending on if you're on the left of the aisle or right of the aisle, writing that headline. But in reality, this seems very much in line with the Roberts Court of addressing only the question at hand, which was on the specific temporary restraining order from the judge in D.C. And while all nine justices agreed in the opinion that there is limited judicial review in this situation, it's much less than maybe any other type of law where a handful of different types of claims could be brought. They limited this to habeas relief here. But what we are looking at is pretty much a narrow ruling on just the question at hand, which was whether or not the temporary restraining order from the judge in D.C. could stand.
I think that's precisely correct. So I think if we break it down a little bit, the decision by the Supreme Court means that Trump's authority with respect to the execution and enforcement of Alien Enemies Act actions against detainees is somewhat limited. In other words, these decisions are appealable. So that constrains the executive power of the administration. Importantly, as I think Logan points out, Judge Boasberg's authority has also been constrained. And he is a judge in Washington, D.C., who assumed jurisdiction of detainees who were held in Texas. So that was an extraordinary move by this particular judge. And one wonders, was he motivated by the law or by personal interests implicating members of his own family? That's a question which is yet to be decided. What's really important, I think, for the Trump administration, outside of the parameters of this particular case, is the United States Supreme Court is beginning to constrain the ability of the ACLU and other actors to simply forum shop, to look for a friendly judge in Washington, D.C.
Let's break down what forum shopping is, because I think that that's not a phrase that people, normal people, hear a lot. You know, that's why I have to say, you know, what's a TRO, Will?
Temporary restraining order.
Right, so we should know that. So forum shopping, give us a little brief understanding of that.
So with forum shopping, essentially the ACLU and other organizations, they compile a list of judges and jurisdictions that might be friendly to their particular perspective. And then they file in that jurisdiction, even though there may be an attenuated connection to that particular area. So in this particular case, we have detainees who are located in a prison in Texas. So the argument should be that the ACLU should go to Texas and bring its case, but instead they go to Washington, D.C., and Judge Boasberg has been identified, rightly or wrongly, as a person who might be friendly to the perspective of the ACLU. So foreign shopping means you're looking for a friend.
Good, good.
Another term that obviously is at the crux of this is habeas corpus. And when you look at this, the limiting factor on the types of claims that can be brought, I believe that they originally filed a habeas petition in Texas, the plaintiffs, and then removed that. They dismissed it so that they could go and try a route of the Administrative Procedures Act and things of that nature in D.C. instead because of that forum issue. But what the court rules here is that this is a core habeas issue, and that is seeking the court basically demanding rationale, like should I continue to be confined in this way or even deported in this way? And they're saying this is a core habeas issue and that they must be brought in habeas. Therefore, core habeas petitions, jurisdiction lies in only one district, the district of confinement. So that in and of itself limits this type of judicial review that can happen. But I think for people, a little bit more context on this habeas corpus issue, which you may remember from civics class, government class, but don't hear used on the street every day and in your water cooler at work. What's kind of the ruling on this issue?
Well, essentially habeas corpus means to release the body. And the court has established that each detainee has the right to such a petition. And I would argue, consistent with my law school training, that is the correct answer, even if you disagree with this particular court's decision-making. So I think that is the correct answer, but it is not necessarily the answer that the Trump administration was seeking.
I want to take this call real quick. Let's go to Linda, who's calling, because there's been a lot of debate and conversation about this. Linda, we only got a couple minutes, but get your question in. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just interested in SCOTUS, Amy Barrett, Justice Amy Barrett's dissent, her opinion on this, because she ruled with the other liberal justices, and I could see them, her ruling. I just don't understand Justice Amy.
We have an answer for you, Linda. Yeah. Go ahead, Will.
So I was actually very curious about that as well, Linda, when I read the opinion last night. But the dissent is from Justice Sotomayor, and Justice Kagan and Justice Jackson joined in full. Justice Barrett only joined as to parts 2 and 3B. So when you look at those parts, one, part 2 is pretty much just reiterating the fact that all 9 members of this court agree that under no uncertain terms that an individual subject to detention and removal under the Alien Enemies Act are entitled to judicial review as to questions of interpretation of the constitutionality of this act, as well as whether he or she is in fact an alien enemy 14 years of age or older. And then the other part, 3B, was about the fact that they didn't address the larger issue. So they kind of all agree that this does receive the habeas review. And where she specifically signed on to dissents were in almost making a highlight of that. We all agree that there is habeas review under this, and almost a little bit of frustration maybe with the Roberts Court for only sticking with the TRO issue and not going into some of the broader issues, just knowing that it will be coming back before the court.
That's right. And TRO stands for?
Temporary Restraining Order.
I'm going to do that so much. I love it. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to bring in some of our other ACLJ attorneys to talk about, like I said, we talked big picture, Supreme Court, and now we're talking about your local HOA who said, you know what? We don't think you have a Bible study here in your neighborhood. Well, what does that look like? How does the ACLJ get involved? I bet you can start figuring it out. But we're going to discuss that a bit further. If you're in the comments right now, tell me how you feel about your HOA. It's okay. You can be a little more anonymous. Give me your thoughts. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. If you are on hold, stay on hold. We're going to get to you, 1-800-684-3110, and we'll move back and continue the discussion that we had early on. So if you have a question related to that topic, we'll get to it. But we always want to make sure we feature the work of the ACLJ and what's going on. Like I always tell you, if you go to aclj.org/help, you're going to get assigned to an attorney. Work is going to get done. And of course, that's at no cost to you because of people like you who say, I want the ACLJ to be there when I need them. So people go to aclj.org/help. They fill out a small questionnaire, if you will. They get connected with the attorney, and we go on from there. And this is one of those instances where you feel like an ACLJ is very vitally important, but also it feels like things that should not be happening still in our country. We have CeCe Heil joining us and Garrett Taylor, both attorneys here at the ACLJ, to discuss this case. Because right now, this is a pretty interesting moment. It's a homeowners association. Look, and I was on the board of a homeowners association. I know it can get a little hectic in that. I think I served for 4 years on my homeowners. Too long. I think I went beyond my term limit. Because it was like
so
during COVID. Well, it was like during COVID.
Yeah.
So they were like, you get to stay in power. Mm. So that happened. I'm looking, there's a lot of love for people's HOA, which I was not expecting, because they step in and went to somebody and said, hey, we have a space that you guys can all use, but if it's religious, that's going to be a problem. Garrett, why don't you give us a brief kind of background on this case?
Right. We were contacted by a resident from an HOA in Virginia. And at this HOA, as is often the case in many 55-plus communities, there are groups of residents that would like to meet who share common interests. And our client founded the only religious club out of the 30 clubs and groups that meet in this.
Book clubs, it's card games, it's a lot of different things like that.
Right. And that's one of the privileges afforded to these homeowners whenever they buy a house in this HOA. And so our client was able to meet, and his group was able to meet for various faith-based events up until February, when the board responded to various complaints that, you know, the women's Bible study, also hosted by some groups or some residents affiliated with our client. They were studying the Book of Hebrews, and they put this in an announcement. And
how dare they?
Right, exactly. That is what is crazy on these homeowners associations. I think one person gets upset, and then they complain to the association, and then the association goes to the extreme. And as we see here, they have banned now all religious use of
right.
the clubhouse.
And you guys were both telling me, and either one of you can hit this, but telling me that they essentially said this is divisive, and because this is divisive, and now look, they've said politics is divisive, and look, we can all understand that, certainly is. You could maybe put some limits on what kind of club meetings could happen there, but when you're saying just because it is a religious event, a Bible study, let's just say it's a Bible study, Christian Bible study, that is too divisive for this 55-plus community. You can use this space for anything.
Right.
But of course, if it has to do with faith, and look, I even said this, and it makes more sense, I'll be honest, that it's in a 55-plus community. Because I said, who has the time to file these complaints? They got some time on their hands. So they're going in there complaining about this Bible study, and like you said, the HOA just caves.
Yeah, absolutely. The board voted unanimously now to stop any kind of religious gatherings in their clubhouse. And what's really strange is, in this situation, typically we can handle these with a letter. We can say, hey, guess what? You're wrong. The Fair Housing Act absolutely requires that you cannot ban religious activities from common areas when you have other things going on there. And so this is when Garrett comes in.
Yeah, Garrett, and so what's next here? What happens? Because we have a client who says, hey, I want to have this Bible study still. And this happens to ACLJ all the time. These people reach out and they want to get connected with a lawyer. And a lot of the times these kind of moments happen. Like Cece said, it can be handled quickly, typically. But right now it doesn't seem to be. So what's next?
Right, and that's something that we did here. We sent a letter to the HOA and its attorneys. And when we got a response, they said, we're not changing our policy. And so as we stated in our letter, we would be prepared to pursue all available legal remedies here. And that the next step is filing a lawsuit in federal court claiming the discrimination here on behalf of the HOA, and we will be arguing that, allowing other events while banning faith-based and religious events flies right in the face of the Fair Housing Act.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, that's where the ACLJ steps in. And you know what happened? This probably went to that HOA and their lawyers, and you know what they didn't do? They didn't Google who we are. Because usually they do and go, uh-oh, some of those lawyers represented some pretty high-profile clients, including the President of the United States. Maybe we won't want to get in a legal battle with them. But you know what? They didn't do it this time, likely. And they said, you know what? Let's ignore it. Let's just say, whatever. This is probably some fake letter that's coming in from some American Center for Law and Justice. But here we are, the ACLJ team, our attorneys, getting into court for you. Because, look, that's the beauty of what we do here. Okay, like I said, we can represent the President of the United States, and then we can represent you who wants to have a Bible study and your HOA is shutting you down. And we have lawyers on all scales who are ready to take on whatever is necessary if it's within the scope of our work. And of course, this is like old school bread and butter core of the ACLJ work that should not honestly have to be happening in 2025 in America. We have settled this law many times. So guess what's going to happen? We're taking it to court because that's the fun part too. So now you get to have people like Garrett and Cece in court saying, you know what? The likelihood of our client to be able to afford the legal bills is very unlikely, very low. But because the ACLJ is there, because there are supporters like you, because there's ACLJ champions that give on a monthly basis, we're able to do that for them at no cost. And then you have a real voice.
And what we normally see here, and we've had dozens over even the last year of this exact type case. And this is the first time in recent history that has had to go to a lawsuit. So as you mentioned, maybe they didn't Google, maybe they didn't think who is this letter coming from, but they're going to find out very quickly. When this lawsuit is being filed today is my understanding, and they're going to find out when they're in federal court. And I feel like the members of the HOA itself is going to find out very quickly that
what it costs to defend the lawsuit.
Fact that if their dues are going up because now they've got a big retainer that they're paying. Normally the HOA attorneys are handling things like delinquent fees, things of that nature, not a federal lawsuit coming from the American Center for Law and Justice on behalf of one of their members.
As a former vice president of my HOA, I will tell you, the one thing they don't like is any changes in fees. Ooh, we got some nasty emails when we needed to, you know, put some new asphalt down on the drive there. And I know our president is probably watching right now. She's an active viewer. She knows. She knows. You're probably going to, you know, hit me up later. Actually, former president. I think she now is just Rhodes. Which need help.
Only handles the roads.
I think so. She was president way beyond term. I mean, violating the Constitution.
There's a situation going on in your HOA, Logan. We need to address.
It's like Ukraine.
I was about to say, it feels like Zelensky.
Yeah. You know what? That's okay. Sometimes you need it. Phone lines are open for you. We got a second half hour coming up. Thanks, Cece. And thank you, Garrett, for joining us. We have some phone lines open, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to reset, talk a little bit more also about the talks that are going on in Iran. and continue that discussion that we had early on about the Trump win or not so win. Stay tuned. Second half hour coming up.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you right now. Of course, we're going to reset here, talk a little bit about the news. You may be looking at the title on YouTube or Rumble and be like, what is the news? Because a lot of people said, hey, the Supreme Court gave President Trump a win. And while that is somewhat true, we have also learned that that's not 100% accurate. The liberal news is going to tell you it's a win to scare you. The conservative news is going to tell you it's a win because they want you to be celebratory. And you know what we do? We come in and we actually tell you the truth. Shocking. An organization that comes in and a broadcast that comes in and tells you the truth, whether you like to hear it or not. So, Will, let's break this down real quick again, and we'll take some calls about it and also give you a little bit of information about what's going on in Iran. So, Supreme Court comes in and says, hey, you know, everyone's reporting is that the deportation, this is a win for those who are in favor of this sort of mass deportation.
That's right. And in reality, yes, that is true, is that the Trump administration may begin that program of these deportations, because that TRO, temporary restraining order, that was blocking the use of this program under the Alien Enemies Act has been vacated. So it's no longer put on hold by the court. The Supreme Court also said that bringing the case in D.C. was the wrong venue. It needed to be a habeas. It was a core habeas issue, needed to be brought in the jurisdiction of the confinement, which would have been in Texas, so that could limit the forum shopping. And it reiterated that TROs, they construe them as appealable injunctions, which is was something that even some legal analysts were saying with some of the very early Doge blocks and things of that nature, that the court had the opportunity to say this and didn't. Well, now they are saying this, that they view temporary restraining orders as something the administration can appeal, which is takes away that opportunity for a judge to block something for their set time without any chance of the administration appealing. But one caveat to that, they can re-begin these deportations, is that all nine justices agreed there is limited judicial review here. Right. The administration had been saying there is no judicial review under the Alien Enemies Act. The Supreme Court disagrees. All nine justices agree that a habeas relief is available to those that are being deported in this matter. They also clarified that doesn't mean that if they're in prison already, which most of these were, these are the ones that they found in confinement for other violations of the law, whether it be some sort of crime. This isn't a habeas petition to get them out of confinement. It is only a habeas petition on whether or not they can be deported under the Alien Enemies Act, i.e. whether or not they are a member of Trinde Aragua or not.
Yeah, so we want to make sure we are continually informing you on what actually is happening. Let's go ahead and take a call real quick. Let's go to Daniel in Maryland. Daniel, you've been on hold for a half hour. I want to give you a moment to speak. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I originally came from Brazil back in 1990. I worked for a landscape company, got my green card, and then 10 years after that, I got my citizenship. So I'm an American citizen right now, and I thank this country for everything that did for me. I have a family, and I think what President Trump is doing, it's fair and it's right. These people have to get out, especially if they're criminals. We are paying for these people to have a sandwich in prison. We are paying for them to have dinner, shower, and everything. And I don't think it's fair. They have to go, and it's nothing but fair to people like American people and like myself, that I spend $20,000 in legal fees, immigration fees, to become legal in this country. And I came legally.
Daniel, I wanted you to be able to have a moment to share your story, because I think it's important to hear from people like you. We can come in here and pontificate and give you all our thoughts, but you have lived it. And you see the good and the bad of what's happening actually in this process. And of course, we want to be fair for people like you, Daniel, who did it legally. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ right now. It's our Life and Liberty Drive. You heard about the incredible work we're doing, whether that is for the President of the United States or whether that is to help you fight against your HOA. We'll be right back. To Seculo, I do want to give you an opportunity to call in right now. As in the next segment, we like to hear from the most important voice in the room, and that's, of course, you at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We like to hear your calls live. You're already on hold. Stay on hold. We're going to get to you. But again, give me a call. I really like to get those kind of stacked up so when we go to the next segment, you have an opportunity to speak. One of the topics we wanted to talk about, though, today, because we've hit a lot. We hit the Supreme Court. We went to the ACLJ team, talk about that HOA. And now we're going to move on a little bit here because, Will, there has been some conversations that were maybe unlikely that seem to be happening between the U.S. and Iran.
That's right. And President Trump, in a surprise announcement yesterday, this is while he was meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu in the White House, announced that this is going on and that this is will be continuing to go on, that Saturday is supposed to be a large meeting in Oman. And we're going to go ahead and play what the president said and also what Prime Minister Netanyahu said about this just yesterday in the Oval Office, bite one.
Having direct talks with Iran, and they've started. It'll go on Saturday. We have a very big meeting, and we'll see what can happen. And I think everybody agrees that doing a deal would be preferable.
We're both united in the goal that Iran does not ever get nuclear weapons. If it could be done diplomatically in a full way, the way it was done in Libya, I think that would be a good thing.
Yeah, so there's statements again from President Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu, and that happened, what, yesterday?
That's
so
right.
This is all very much ongoing.
That's right. And once again, this isn't something that necessarily was on the radar at this point in time. President Trump had floated that there would be some direct talks potentially with Iran, or that he was at least open to that. Now, Iran is pushing back a little bit. They're saying the foreign minister said the discussions in Oman would be indirect, which normally means there's a mediator. And they have two conference rooms. Someone goes in between. I think there may be some nuance here, some semantics that they're getting through. But it is a sign that President Trump is using diplomacy. This comes as a time, though, where we are seeing buildup of military forces in the region. There have been reports of B-2 bombers that are, you know, the flying wing, the stealth bomber, relocated to the Indian Ocean, places that are within striking distance of Iran, as well as the buildup of the military because of the attacks on the Houthis, which are a proxy for Iran as well, that it's almost as if the administration is playing the diplomatic card, but also showing strength in the region.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, President Trump said, you know, he's using his envoy, Steve Witkoff, who has been part of the U.S. delegation. He'll lead the U.S. delegation with these talks on Saturday, it seems. That's what sources are saying, this Saturday in Oman. So those potentially are happening, again, putting to work some of these special envoys that he has been talking about. I think that's interesting. Just like we have Rick Grenell, who's also an envoy. These are different kind of positions that could come in diplomatically. We saw Rick Grenell, he went over to Venezuela and was able to have those conversations. You're able to send people. And again, remember, we live in a different time now where we have an administration that's willing to sit down and talk to people, even people they disagree with, and say, hey, this is diplomacy. This isn't friendship. You can sit down with Vladimir Putin and his team. Why? Again, diplomacy, not friendship. Looking to end wars, not to befriend them. That used to be the way things ran, but for some reason, 4 years ago, they decided that the idea of even sitting down and talking was too much. The President Trump sitting down and talking with North Korea. Did you feel scared of North Korea for the 4 years of the first Trump presidency? I didn't really. Why? Because they had this contentious, but an actual relationship, whether it was positive or negative, there was people sitting down and having discussions. And now you see a Witkoff coming in to potentially lead these negotiations. Again, that's what sources are saying. And I'd love to hear from you. What do you think about this? Do you like that we are doing this? 1-800-684-3110. Should we be sitting down with leaders in countries like Iran or Russia, China, ones that are historically not the most friendly with us, to hopefully tamper down destruction over the long term.
Right. And as we know, President Trump says he doesn't want more war. That is what he ran on. He is trying to end wars in Ukraine and Russia, and trying to do that through negotiations. He also wants the end of the war in Gaza, but he is also not afraid to show strength through positioning military assets, maybe showing that this is a potential if you don't go down this line. And the interesting fact about this also is that, you know, the difference in an Obama administration negotiating a so-called nuclear deal, what that ended up being was relief of sanctions, very nominal inspections by the UN, which most of the time the heads up they had to give them, there was nothing there to see when they got there. Cameras being turned off so the UN couldn't monitor them. That was no real deal. When President Trump goes in, and what Steve Witkoff has already shown in many of the releases of prisoners held in places like Russia, that he's able to negotiate and get deals for the American people. The difference with negotiating with Iran here, and why this isn't a rerun of the Obama administration negotiating with them, is because there will be some sort of actual get for the American people. There was nothing that we got out of the Obama nuclear deal because we gave them sanctions relief, freed up the coffers of cash that they had, and got no real assurances that Iran wouldn't continue their nuclear program. As a matter of fact, we know that they continued it. They continued their ballistic missile program. So the delivery mechanism of a nuclear weapon, they were still able to keep on developing the entire time. That was never addressed by the JCPOA. But what will happen here if there is a deal to be had? If the Ayatollahs in Iran will come to the table and talk seriously, there is a deal to be had. And what does the American people get out of it? A non-nuclear Iran.
Yeah,
that
safety
would be the get.
That's what I don't understand here, why there would be complaints with this. The idea is to calm the world stage, something that's very needed right now. Let's just be honest. It's all very needed. Phone lines are open for you. As I said, I feel like I'm shilling for calls right now. This is like an old WWE Bite This special with Kevin Kelly. 1-800-684-3110. We have a couple lines open for you right now, and I do want to hear from you because this is an important time. And look, it's an important time for the ACLJ as well, because we are continuing fighting all over the world. I know we've talked about the little, like, you know, you think of it as little, but it's not, because it has big consequences, like that HOA. But then we're taking on some of these major fights, including, by the way, supporting Christians that are truly persecuted. And I'm talking about those that are losing their lives, of course, in places like the Congo. You've heard us talk about this quite a bit. But we've also, you know, it's from the small scale to the very large, to the I can't have a Bible study in my 55 plus community, to the biggest of big, which of course is people losing their lives just because of their religious beliefs. That is why the ACLJ team is not just focused on America. Of course, our American center is the main part of the organization, but we have the European center, which also can speak at the UN. We have the right to do so. So we get to be there and say what we need to be said when a lot of people won't say it. We have our ACLJ Jerusalem. And again, that's intentionally not the Israeli Center for Law and Justice. It is the ACLJ Jerusalem, American Center for Law and Justice in Jerusalem, because we are trying to reach out and connect with those and people to understand that though they may turn on the news and see this anti-Israel sentiment, that there's so many of you watching that feel the exact opposite, and that most of Americans still support what's going on in Israel. People say they're our biggest ally. Well, they're certainly our biggest ally in the Middle East, because they're really the only Middle Eastern country that has similar values and values women, values children and people in a similar way. Phone lines are open for you. We're going to take some of those coming up at 1-800-684-3110. But I encourage you right now to support the work. We are now already 8 days into this Life and Liberty Drive, which is pretty wild. Scan the QR code that's on your screen if you're watching right now. And if you're not watching, by the way, you should watch. We have a, you know, it's a full television production here, and we do it for free at aclj.org. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on Rumble. You can find us on the Salem News Channel, which is one of our newest offerings, where they're live 12 to 1 p.m., along with a stacked group of other hosts. That's available on Pluto. That is available on Samsung Plus, a lot of other places. Of course, you can go to their website to find out. But the work of the ACLJ continues. And these conversations will continue because I want to hear from you. So if you want to call in, we could talk about the Supreme Court. We could talk about that HOA. You can tell me your thoughts on that. Maybe you've had a similar run-in with some of these organizations. We could talk about what's going on in Iran. We could talk about what's going on in Israel as Benjamin Netanyahu was sitting with President Trump yesterday. Of course, we could talk about dire wolves, which have been brought back from extinction after 10,000 years. There's a lot of debate going on in our office on whether that's a good thing or not. I am in the pro-dire wolf community. 7-foot white wolf looks pretty cool. And hey, if it feels like the world is ending already, we might as well bring back some prehistoric creatures.
I disagree, Logan, but we'll get to it in the next segment,
I'm
sure.
What do you think? 1-800-684-3110. We're going to give a challenge to our phone screener here. If you want to talk dire wolves, why not? Bring it on. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secula. We are going to take your phone calls, and there's still a few lines open at 1-800-684-3110. There's a lot of conversation now breaking out about the dire wolf, which then led into people discussing the difference between a mastodon and a woolly mammoth, because there's conversations of woolly mammoths coming back with those woolly mice.
I was a little misguided in my own thoughts about the mastodon versus mammoth debate.
Same.
I thought mastodon, the bigger of the two.
Yeah.
Incorrect. Woolly mammoth is the larger one.
Oh.
Yeah.
So in the Power Rangers, why did they not go woolly mammoth?
Yeah, mastodon's a better sounding name. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds stronger.
Right.
Like Tyrannosaurus, mastodon, woolly mammoth. It sounds
also,
a little.
Also, because you don't, it's two words, woolly mammoth.
Yeah, you got to wear that
mastodon.
In the middle of the summertime.
Pterodactyl.
Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Let's go to Tracy, who is calling in Oregon. Tracy, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. You were talking about not talking to our adversaries.
Yeah.
And I am so happy that Donald Trump is, because that old saying, you keep your friends close and your enemies closer so that we know what they're doing. And thank you. I'm so happy to have found the Salem News Channel. You guys give me hope. And thank you for all the information.
That's great.
And thanks for taking my call. And save Oregon. Send back Chael Sonnen. I saw him on your show. Please, save us.
All right, Tracy, thank you so much. I think that, thank you for watching on the Salem News Channel. That's one of our new outlets, and it's nice to know that people are watching and are enjoying it there. That is a live, just like if you're watching any sort of news channel that's available, we're on there live from 12 to 1 p.m., so you get to watch our show live. And if you have Pluto, or if you have, really, it's an easy way to access this show and a whole lineup of shows on your smart TV or smart devices. But, Will, what was the last thing she said? She said something about Oregon? I don't even know.
She wants to save Oregon.
Save Oregon?
Yes.
Dire wolves. Dire wolves. Yes, yes, yes. Except some moron might kill them.
All right. Tracy, thank you. I didn't even know you were still on the air, but I appreciate that. All right. We're going to continue to take some more calls.
I will say to her point about the keep your friends close and enemies closer issue with Iran is that exactly. The problem is that typically, when the previous administration would negotiate with a foreign entity, it just involved us giving away things. That wasn't keeping them close to keep a check on them. It was capitulating to foreign adversaries. The difference is that when we talk now, the United States talks to foreign adversaries, it's with authority and saying, you better watch out.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to take some more calls. I see one guy. By the way, I'm going to call out one guy who goes after me in the comments and say, I always say it's the most important a voice in the room, and then I don't take the callers. Here's the deal, buddy. I've been promoting for you to call in all day. And guess what? We got 4 open lines. So you could have called in. I'd like to do this. I want to call out individuals. I could call out his full name
I've heard people like that.
They do.
When they're specifically targeted and put in the spotlight.
Yeah, well, he shouldn't be trolling on here, okay? I know you're a daily watcher, but I don't hear you calling. I'm going to take a call about a wolf. It's going to make you happy. Let's go to Don, who's calling. In Indiana, Salem News Channel. He wanted to talk, because Pat over here wanted to talk about Iran.
Right.
And I'm saying...
That's Mark, by the way. You said Pat wanted to talk about Iran.
No, I know. No, Pat's the guy.
Oh, got it. So sorry.
Yeah. But I'm going to take Mark's call next, after Don, because Don's got the important question. Don, go ahead. Watch it also on the Salem News Channel.
I just think it's a little dangerous when they start pulling DNA from something that's been deceased for a long time out of a skull. It scares me, especially being a born-again believing Christian, that what says you can dig up one of your old family members and take the DNA? As I understand it, the thing they brought back was the DNA was taken from their bones or their skull.
I don't know all the details, Don, but look, it's a slippery slope. Willis said that. We brought it up. Do I think it's cool? Yes, I do. Do I think that there are some moral implications that could go south? Also, yes.
Right. I mean, it kind of goes back to the Dolly the sheep cloning issue of the
90s. They're also not fully dire wolves, if you really read about it. Yeah. It's like dire wolf in name only.
But once again, I'd say we've all seen Jurassic Park. What'd you say?
Dinos. Dire in name only.
Oh, no. These are not dinos. These are wolves.
I know, but it was a joke.
Right. Okay. It was all right. We've seen Jurassic Park. We know how it ends up in the movies. But yes, I think Don is right. There is, where does the slippery slope end? You have dire wolves now. You have woolly mammoths and or mastodons, depending on which is your preferred large elephantine creature.
Let's just really talk about this, actually, because many years ago, you know, I feel like the iPhone really changed the world. And then it was like, where are we going to go from here? And most of us could not fathom what the next iteration of that would be, because you're like, well, I'm carrying this around. And then people are like, well, it could be your brain chip. It could be something like that. But what it really was the idea of AI incorporating the way it is now, a user-friendly AI, something that does change the world as we know it. And it did. And it has over the last 2 years. I mean, it has changed the way we operate. So you have to always look at what the future could hold and understand that we don't always see what that next step may be. Because if you were able to tell me 2 years ago, I could, you know, come up with an idea for a song and it'd be fully produced and ready for me in 30 seconds, I would have said, okay, but it's going to sound, you know, it's not really going to do it. And they are, go look at Spotify. They are having to shut that down because there are so many people flooding them with new content that's being created every second of the day. Let's go to Mark, who is calling now from New York. Listen on the radio. Mark, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Great topics today. I want to thank you for fighting the good fight. The one thing I'm really concerned about is this Iran situation. You know, since I can remember, they've always called us the Great Satan, and they want to wipe us and Israel off the planet. I have a lot of faith in my president and what he's doing. One of your callers had said, you know, keep your enemies close to your pocket, and I agree with that, but what are your thoughts about the deception of Iran?
Look, Mark, those are real concerns. And here's what I've said, and I said before, and Rick Ronella shared as well, is again, this isn't about making friends. This is about having some sort of ongoing conversation to protect the American people. This is diplomacy, and we need that. And we need to be able to sit down with people we disagree with. And I mean that on the very small scale of whether you're a liberal or conservative, but I mean that on the big scale when it comes to who is going to have weapons that could wipe out, you know, chunks of the world. And sure, do I think Iran is out there saying that, you know, America is great and everything is perfect? No. We don't go in there with blinders on. That's not how this works.
Well, and to the point that Bibi Netanyahu said yesterday during that meeting was that the goal is for Iran to never get nuclear weapons. If it can be done diplomatically in the full way it was done in Libya, I think that would be a good thing. No one trusted Muammar Gaddafi after they eliminated their weapons of mass destruction program, their chemical weapons, and they were trying to get nuclear weapons, but they signed a non-proliferation treaty. But what happened was there was actual checks put in place and real monitoring to ensure that they were destroying their stockpiles. That's what they're talking about here. It's not that they ever were all of a sudden like, Muammar Gaddafi is a good guy and our good friend. No, it was still, he's a dictator and this is a failed state in many ways. But they still were able to ensure that he did not get a nuclear weapon and that he dismantled the chemical weapons program that they had. All so right, I think that's what they're looking at.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate you listening. The people that love us, the people that hate us, we're just glad you're watching us. Support the work of the ACLJ right now. We've seen a lot of increase in attacks on people of faith, whether that's in this country or overseas. We could use your support, and that's why the ACLJ is here for you right now. Your donations are doubled because of people like you who will unlock their donation. We have defeated dozens of these attacks with even just simple demand letters, but now there are things like this HOA. And again, I know you love your HOA, but sometimes you got to be able to fight back. And of course, we are there for you at no cost because of people like you. So donate today. Scan the QR code right now. Talk to you tomorrow.